Hey guys, and welcome back to our Last of Us special. I hope that you've been enjoying our first episode so far. In this one, we dive into the gameplay and the story and some of the concerns we have surrounding the story. Watch out for my pitch that I wish Naughty Dog would listen to and maybe rewrite the story. And yeah, let's dive back into Ash's survival guide if an apocalypse does fall on us. Before we say that, if the zombie apocalypse does happen, all we're gonna do, fans, is, oh, gamers, we're just gonna release a one minute podcast, and we're gonna say it's time. Our skills, whatever you've learned, bring it to the table. We're meeting here. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I actually have a plan. If there is a zombie outbreak, so yeah, so this is my plan. If you guys want to join us and start a Noobology clan on an island somewhere, we can name it after ourselves, and yeah, we can have a place of paradise here on Earth. But anyway, so my plan is, so listen, we get a boat, get fishing materials and whatever, and then we have weapons that we have, just because we have weapons, because it's that sort of game in life that we have. Yeah, so we meet up somewhere, we go out to sea, we fish to eat. We find a small island that we sail to, and we clear out any zombies that are on it, and we move there, we set up, we build, we experience our life on that island. It's free from zombies, they can't swim, and we have fishing materials. We have things that we can use to hunt.
Wait, zombies can't swim?
I think they can't. Because usually in movies
they
can't.
That's a good question.
But there was only one movie that they could swim. But even if they can swim, we build a big fence around a wall. We'll do what Trump does. We build a wall around our city and our country, and we will survive.
That will be our tagline. We'll have we'll spray paint it along walls and stuff. We will survive.
Yeah, there we go.
Awesome. I think that's a cool plan. We will release that episode if that ever happens.
Yeah.
But getting back to the game and gameplay, so Starters Ash, it is a beautiful game. Everything in it is just, it just makes you want to take a breath and just stop playing and just look at it.
Yeah.
I have so many. I think I have like over 25 screenshots from photo mode. It's so beautiful. There's parts where you really have to commend Naughty Dog's team, because they did a fantastic job in making this post-apocalyptic world look so real.
Yeah,
go for it.
I think it draws you in.
Exactly.
Especially with the atmosphere that they create, it's something that is believable. I know that lots of people that played the game and they say it looks amazing and the audio is very immersive and it makes everything a bit more believable. And to get that sort of experience out of a 7-year-old piece of tech that is the PlayStation 4, I mean, that's incredible. That's honestly amazing to see and play. Yeah, I think that it does a good job at visualizing a world in the post-apocalyptic setting. How many years after the first game is this one?
8 or 10, I think.
8 to 10, so.
Maybe 8.
I think that, okay, so we're roughly about 30 years into the apocalypse. And everything around the cities, around the locations, around the towns, everything looks how you would expect a zombie
it's
apocalypse.
So detailed, man. I can't even explain to you how detailed it, from like the little telephone on the wall to like the office chairs when you're scavenging for parts and buildings. Everything is just so detailed. The plants, little flowers, the gun, even when you mod your weapons, right? So there's a new thing that they introduced where you gotta find a bench like you did in the first one and you mod your weapons. They actually show you Ellie or Abby modding their weapons. So they clean it and the sound effects are beautiful and it's just so immersive. It feels like you're in this world with them and you're traveling with them as a third person.
There was a lot of criticism about the game, how it plays. People say that it's very, very similar to the first game. I can honestly see how.
Right.
The core game loop is essentially the same in a way, but at the same time I feel this game should have come out in 2015.
I don't know if I agree with that, because there are parts where in the first game, right, you couldn't really traverse because Joel is like a brute He's like brute force. You want to punch things. He's like basically Hugh Jackman, the Wolverine, yeah. Because you dive into the scenarios. If you're playing easy or hard mode or whatever, like I do, and I jump into the situations and I just start punching people because he feels like a brute force, right? And then visceral. You get Ellie. Right, and then you get Ellie in the second game, who's a lot more nimble in her stealth, and she can traverse a little bit better than the first one. She can actually jump now, and her stealth, because she's so scrawny and nimble, she can, like, her stealth is a lot better than Joel, because Joel's this big dude, right? Yeah. You don't mess with Joel. But Ellie, in terms of gameplay, I enjoyed it so much because you can climb up ropes now and you can mod weapons and you can craft your own ammo. So for me, that was interesting because I didn't see that in the first game. You only played as Joel, and then the winter part of the game you played as Ellie. You don't really jump and do things, right?
That is interesting to have in a Last of Us game, but at the same time, it's not something that's revolutionary to gaming. We could jump before, we could dodge before, we could do ground crawling or prone crawling in the Metal Gear series. So it is cool that they didn't add that to the game, but at the same time,
it's nothing innovative that we haven't seen before, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with that part 100%. It's just that when we talk about gameplay in terms of what you can do now, they have done some pretty interesting things. Like, I'll get into Abby in a bit, but sticking with Ellie, I think she's it's so much better to shoot, to kind of use your bow and arrow now.
Yeah.
There's a little, the UI UX design of the menu and the way you craft things, and you know, when you're selecting a gun and stuff like that, I think they've done it so much better, and you don't have to waste your time crafting holsters because you can find that in the game. And I think that's something that I really appreciated them doing, because it was a bit irritating to craft holsters in the first game because you couldn't really select your gun properly. Oh, shivs is still there. You can mod your shivs. You can mod your melee weapon. Melee's are still a thing. You still get the 9mm. You still get the shotgun, the rifle, bow and arrow.
Yeah,
for sure. Bricks and bottles are still a thing, so you're going to still have to throw that to kind of distract your enemies. Humans and infected. And you introduced a new infected while we're on that. You get your usual clickers and runners. Then you get shamblers and the Rat King, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I agree with you when you say that it's nothing innovative or groundbreaking that we haven't seen before in these other games that we played. But in terms of The Last of Us world, it is a little bit nicer to see that we can do these things now in this world and in this post-apocalyptic world that they've designed. It's much cooler. And you get to, I wouldn't describe it as open world. I think it's semi-open world, where you can kind of go ravage buildings and scavenge for things before you actually get to the main story. You can do that now.
Okay, that is cool. I remember that we did get into, okay, when I say we, I mean our gaming group on WhatsApp. We did get into a bit of a spirited argument with one of our members who said that The Last of Us is open world. And then we had to say that, no, it's not.
I don't think it is.
It's not, so we had to say that it's not, then we had to prove that it's not by getting an actual quote by a developer to prove that it's not. Wasim, if you're listening,
it's open world. They've done a great job. The developers have done a great job to make it feel that way or to immerse you in that way. But it's not. It's definitely not open world, and especially the second one. It's I describe it as semi open world, where you can kind of do things before you actually get to the main part of the story.
Yeah.
You can go to this building, go to that building, and get your
parts. I think that is really cool. That's cool to have. Yeah. To have more of an expansive design to the levels.
Mm.
It's sort of like in Uncharted 4, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Exactly. But the thing that's still there is that you have to get those tablets that you had to get in the first game, those capsules to kind of... Yeah, exactly. To kind of upgrade yourself. And then you're going to find books now to expand your knowledge on how to craft things and better mod your weapons and better mod your ammo. But yeah, that's pretty much gameplay. I'll dive into Abby for a little bit now because Chloe touched on Ellie and how she loved that she was a little bit more able to jump and traverse and into buildings and stuff. But with Abby, I describe playing as Abby playing as Ronda Rousey. If Ronda Rousey was in a game, this would be it. Because Abby is so strong, man. Like, you feel like you're playing as Ronda Rousey because you can go up and punch dudes and infected and whatever the case is. as much as you want. And she has this shotgun that you can craft fire ammo with. So if you shoot someone, the next person will catch on fire. So that was pretty interesting for me too.
I think that was in the first game, if I'm not mistaken.
I probably didn't unlock it. Sorry, guys. But yeah, that was amazing. Because there's different... I wouldn't say different weapons for players. It's a little bit different between Ellie and Abby. But Abby is a lot more brute force, like Joel was in the first game.
Yeah.
So with Abby, you feel like you can punch your way through things and punch your way through scenarios. And you can shoot and you can dodge. Oh, dodging is a thing now. But you've already touched on that. L1 to dodge, and then you can kind of fight infected as much as you want. But it's nice to play as Abby, because what was missing in the first part with Ellie is that you always have to stealth your way through things. You always have to grab people from behind and shiv them. And I was just like, I want to punch things, man. I want to punch infected. So with Abby, like Ronda Rousey, you can punch your way through scenarios, which was pretty cool. So with Abby, I think there's a lot more action sequences in the second part of the game when you play as her, because there's a lot more interesting things happening. You get introduced to the WLF, the Wolves Washington Liberation Front, and I think you're exposed to more scenes where you can do more, basically, and fight your way through things. So I appreciated that. Ellie, there were scenes where you kind of finding your way through things, but with Abby, it was a little bit more interesting to see, because there's one part of the game where you go to the hospital where the first infected was ever isolated, and you have to go all the way underground where they were kept and find medical supplies when you play as Abby. So that was pretty interesting for me.
That is very interesting. It sounds like a setup for a really hectic boss fight.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was definitely there.
Is that the rat king?
The one thing I will say, the rat king, yeah. We'll get into that. The one thing that irritated me, Ash, a lot, was that I often found myself yelling at my TV, saying, give me control, give me control. Because there were parts in the game where you are forced to make decisions, or you're forced to play the scene and you can't skip it. You have to play it. There's no choice. You have to kill this person. You have to shoot this. You have to hit this person. I always felt, I was like, give me control. Even when I was, I know this is going to sound weird, but I'm sure 80% of the players did this. When I was fighting my way, after Abby killed Joel and all her friends were there, and you were finding her friends as Ellie, and you go and you find this one girl who helped kill Joel, and she said that, you know, she cursed Joel, and she said that cursed word deserved to die.
Yeah.
And I was like, what you say? What you say about Joel? And then you get to a point where you chase her, and you find her at the end, and it's like, okay, you press one button to hit her. And I'm like, no. Give me control. I want to do things. I want to use my weapon. I want to punch. But you can't do that. So as from that perspective, Ash, the writers blocked you, basically. They limited you in what you can and you could or could not do. And it irritated me a little bit there.
Okay, so listening to that, there's two different things that I'm thinking about. One, normally when you say that you want to do something, I don't remember having that experience in the first game, because the actions of the characters made sense in terms of their personality, mm-hmm. and who they were in the game. So if you think about Bill and mm-hmm. what he did when we were locked in the church, yeah. and he was upset for the magazines, it made sense to his character. And in the cutscene, that right. made sense. Because there's something called ludonarrative dissonance. Now, that's basically where there's a disconnect between the personality of the character in the cutscene and in the gameplay. So people would say that in Uncharted, that Nathan Drake was a funny guy that didn't really want to kill people. But in the gameplay, he would just mow down thousands and thousands of people.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that was an example of ludonarrative dissonance.
Right.
At the same time, it makes sense in this case where if the theme that's ongoing is that you want your revenge, to not feel satisfied when you get it. But I'm not sure if mm-hmm. the actions were outside of the personality and characteristics of that person, or if you wanted to satisfy mm-hmm. that revenge craving that you had.
It does a good job of making the player feel a little bit miserable in that sense, because you don't actually feel like you have a choice in the game. you have to do this, you have to kill this person, you have to fight this person the way it is. It's stuck, basically. And as much as I loved playing as Abby, when I was fighting my way through her friends and what they did to Joel and stuff, it made me feel very unsatisfied. It was just like, please give me, I want to fight this person for what she said about, even the part that I just told you now, where the chick says he should have, he deserved to die. I was like, no, come here, come here, let me hit you. And she runs off. But exactly. But you don't get that feeling, and they don't even show you how Ellie kills her, basically, this one chick in the hospital fight. I'm sure the people who have played it know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The one thing that was cool that they added to the gameplay was that you can play the guitar now. You can strum.
There was something that I saw that said that, does Troy Baker have a contract with every studio that he's in? If he's in the game, he gets to play the guitar.
Oh, man. He's such a brilliant actor. I mean, I can't stress this enough. When I saw him as Sam Drake and when he played Joel, he's just so good and so talented in what he does and an amazing musician. If you haven't checked him out, please do. Troy Baker, you'll find him on Twitter and Instagram. I follow his podcast as well. You can check it out. But he's so good as Joel, man, that when they do what they do to him, you cry. You're forced to cry. You think about all those moments you had with Ellie, all those moments you traveled halfway across the world with her to end a beautiful character like this. Yes, he's a flawed human being. Who isn't? It's a game set in a post-apocalyptic world. Everybody is flawed. Everybody's doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And he didn't deserve to die that way. And I will get into that, but it's just so sad, man, to see a beloved character die in that way. I'm sure Game of Thrones fans and stuff like that are listening to this and could relate to me. But yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, he was brutalized. But I think that this tees up our story segment perfectly.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it, man. There's so much to talk about, yeah. There's so much, man. When you first play the game, you start off with Joel and Tommy. Oh, Tommy, okay, I have to stop praising the actors. But very good cast. But going back to the story, you start off as Joel and Tommy, and Joel's basically telling Tommy what he did to save Ellie. And he says, I had to do it. You know, I had to do it. So you play as, you start off with Joel riding on a horse, and you get to Jackson, which the city has expanded to, Jackson, Wyoming. It's a beautiful city now, and you get to see the first part of the game. Joel goes to Ellie, and this is the moment where I bawled my eyes, and I was just not okay for the next 5 minutes, because he brings her back a guitar, right, after talking to Tommy, and he sings her this, a song. And I don't know, I think it's called Future Days. It's like he says, if I ever had to lose you, I'd surely lose myself. And you get chills and you're like, what are you doing to me, Troy Baker? Why are you doing this, man? But it's such a beautiful part and a great way to start a game. And then obviously the story goes, as everyone knows, Joel dies in like the first 2 hours of the game, first hour of the game, very brutally. He dies first he saves Abby from a horde of zombies infected, and he saves her, and she doesn't know who he is until he says, this is Tommy and I'm Joel. And basically they're trapped in this warehouse, and Abby says, you know what, there's a camp nearby with all my friends, and remember, all of the friends are looking for Joel. Then they get to the camp and Joel introduces himself, and they shoot him with a shotgun on his leg so he can't walk. It takes about 6 or 5 people to hold him down, because Joel is you know, Joel's strong. He'll mess you up. So they hold him down, and he dies, basically, to kill him. Which was a very emotional part of the game, because Ellie finds him, finds the crew in the basement, and they hold her down, and she has to watch as Abby gives Joel the last blow to the head.
PGA Tour 2020. It's a bit of a dark joke to make, yeah.
It is a bit of a dog joke, but it's a good one. It's a good one. But to be honest, like I said, it's a very emotional game and very controversial. Before we go into more of the story, what do you think about Joel dying?
I feel Joel was underutilized as a character. from the the care in which the first story was crafted and the level of character development and the arc that we saw that just rounded up first game so beautifully. I feel like what we got in the second game wasn't worthy enough to what was established.
Uh-huh.
It might sound harsh,
right?
But my thinking behind this is that things were done that were very convenient, very sort of like, I'm not sure if you heard the term before, plot armor. It wouldn't make sense for people to be in certain positions and for them to behave a certain way, but they do that because the plot demands it of them. Plot is basically what directs everyone going forward, and sometimes what can be done is, or what is done is outside of the personality and character of the person. Because if you remember that in the first game, Joel was very closed, suspicious, wary of new people, especially if these people are armed to the tooth, like how this group was. For him to be unsuspecting and to have his guard down so low, that was a bit much to take in, and something that I feel could have been handled better. But yeah, at the end of the day, we are all going to die one day. That's a part of life.
But I think the basically the game is about the cycle of revenge and the power of perspective, right? So
I mean, it
just ending up about Joel's,
it tries to be like that.
Yeah, just kind of rounding up Joel's arc. People were saying he deserved to die. He was a bad guy. We know he's a bad guy.
And
it's established in the first game.
We don't care.
It's like, remember that scene where Ellie and Joel are driving and the dude's like, I'm hurt. And he's like, he ain't even hurt. And drives straight through him. That's how you know. And it's he's a bad dude. He's flawed, for sure. But it's a world where everybody is doing certain things. Everybody's hurting everybody.
Yeah.
Right? And in Joel's mind, when you played as Joel, from his perspective, he was doing the right thing by saving her, because I see it this way. He obviously saved her basically because he sees her as a daughter and he wants her to live, right?
Yeah.
But also, if you think about it this way, if there had been a cure, if Ellie had died and sacrificed her life for a cure, it would have been held by the Fireflies, would have been the most powerful group in the world. Right? Yeah. They were already terrorizing military groups and bombing factions. Remember in the first part of the game when Tess and Joel get to the gates? Exactly. So if you think about it that way, where the Fireflies would have held it over people like a power. You want the cure? Join our group. You want the cure? Join our group. And people would be like, no, I just want the cure because I want to live, right?
Yes.
So think about it that way as well.
But it's also allegedly as well.
Yeah.
Because we don't know if she did do whatever she did. Like if she did sacrifice herself and they did eventually... Mm-hmm. carry on or go through with the operation. We don't know if the cure was something that is actually going to be real, because there wasn't much research done. I mean, there was a file, a recording that said that they think that it might work. They don't have any guarantee.
Oh yeah, that was when they go to the university, Boston University.
Yeah,
go Bighorns.
Yes.
Yeah, there, right there. I remember that. I remember that, actually. You're right. So, just rounding up Joel's arc. Great game. Great gameplay. Great graphics and whatnot. But to go out that way, a beloved character, it was very sad to watch. I won't play the game. And if I do go through a second playthrough, I'll skip through that part for sure. But yeah, Joel's dead. And moving on, you seek revenge from the people who killed Joel as Ellie. Rounding up a large number of bodies along the way, killing people, killing Abby's friends, to the point where, Ellie has a girlfriend now, Dina, who I think is a fantastic entry to the franchise. She's very fun and lovable, and she adds depth to Ellie's character. It makes you understand Ellie a little bit more. So Ellie and Dina set out to find the people who killed Joe, right? And then midway through, you find out that Dina's pregnant with Jesse's baby, who's also a new character in the franchise, right? I know it's getting a little bit complicated. I'm trying to simplify it as best as I can. So she leaves pregnant Dina. She hides her in this abandoned theater, and she goes out and kills Abby's friends, to a point where Abby finds Ellie. You didn't play as Abby yet, by the way. Abby finds Ellie, and she says, you kill my friends, and blank screen, and then you start playing as Abby.
Okay, I'm just gonna jump in.
And you see things from, you see things from her perspective, basically.
Did you know that Bruce Straley, when he was answering,
where is he? He fell off the earth, man.
He's probably relaxing on a beach somewhere. He's looking.
Yeah,
at
for sure.
What happened to the game? okay, what happened was, back in 2013, I think, there was a question and answer session that he did with Neil Druckmann on Reddit. I'm not sure if you remember, but there was a conference that Neil spoke at, and it was one where he brought his original ideas out into the open for people to see. Do you remember that one? Okay, so...
I do not, man.
Oh, okay. There was a conference, and he was doing a presentation. And he was speaking about his original concept for the game. And something that was there was he wanted the story to be a bit more dark and driven by revenge. Whenever he said he pitched it to people, they always rejected the story. And even Bruce Straley said that revenge wasn't going to be a strong enough motivating factor to keep somebody engaged for the whole game. And if you go back and you watch that video, you will see that there is basically what The Last of Us 2 is all of the ideas that Neil had for a game that's put into a single piece of content. So whatever he wanted to do in the past is in the game. I think it's sort of like he was left to be able to have complete control over the project. And that's a result that he probably saw this as a culmination of his life's work coming into fruition. So chance for him to get all of the things that he wanted to get done put into a piece of content for people to digest.
Right. I agree with that because I know that Neil Druckmann was played a major part in developing this game and the story he fleshed out. But it did have a lot of intrigue, like Chloe said and Dan said, that they kept wanting to get to the cutscenes to get to the story, right?
Yeah.
And I also felt that way. I also felt like, hey, I want to get to the story. And I often left a lot of side quests and getting those safes and stuff open aside. And I just went and I wanted to get to the story and
you
get to a point where I get
ended.
To... Yes, exactly. So I think they did a great job in that respect, but agree. Neil Druckmann put all his eggs into this one basket and said, here's the game. But I will pitch my idea for the game a little later. But I don't want to talk too much about him, but I respect him in that sense where he started off as a graphic designer in Naughty Dog, for those of you who don't know, and then became the director, the writer, and the VP of Naughty Dog. So I respect him in his career, but what he made here, The Last of Us 2, wasn't what I was expecting as a gamer. But moving on to the story, so playing as Abby was quite fun, actually. I really enjoyed it. At first, it was like, I'll be honest, I'm going to be very honest with our audience. At first, it was like, I don't care, you killed Joel, go away. And I stopped playing for like a day, I think. And then I had to get back into it, obviously.
There was actually plenty of videos where people were just killing themselves as soon as they got to play as Abby. The very first thing that they could do was jump off a ledge or do something so that they could kill themselves and watch themselves die.
Here's the problem. I loved Abby, but the way they introduced the character was not good. When you first see Abby, you're like, who is she? And then the second time you see her, she's killing Joel. So obviously everyone is gonna be have mixed feelings towards her. It doesn't matter. Like she should have been introduced properly. It shouldn't have just been she just comes in, she kills Joel. And he has a character. Everyone's going to have mixed feelings about that, right? Because she's killing a beloved character.
I think that everybody's going to hate the character. I don't think you'll be confused.
Exactly.
Because how are you
going
to try and redeem someone who kills someone you love? You can't. For you,
exactly.
You are always going to default to that state that you killed Joel. Why should I respect you? Why should I think about what you went through to become that person? I don't care. I love Joel. I don't love you.
Okay. But yeah, I love that. I love Joel. I don't love you.
That's exactly what they tried to do. They said that, okay,
yeah,
we're going to kill him, but we're going to show you why we killed him. It's sort of that Jeremy Clarkson meme. I'm not sure if you remember. He says that, I like this, but I like this better.
Right.
And that's exactly what Joel was.
They did their utmost best to humanize her, and I think Laura Bailey, who played Abby, is a fantastic actress. She did so well in when you play as her to kind of introduce the character and introduce her in such an emotional way. There are parts where you feel sorry for Abby, but like you said, you always refer to the fact that you killed Joel, and they do a good enough job of trying to make you forget when you play as Abby, because you play as Abby for like 10 hours, right?
Yeah.
And she's an interesting character, and she's got so many flaws, like Joel did. And when you're playing as Abby, you meet this young boy called Lev that you try to... You introduce to this group of... cult group called the Seraphites, Scars. And this guy is kind of like a rebel. He doesn't want to be the Scars, so Abby saves him, and it's like a Joel and Ellie type thing, like the duo, the relationship. But she's an interesting character. I just wish, I loved playing her in the game. Like when you're fighting and as you're shooting people, it was amazing. But they should have introduced her in a different way. You know what I'm saying? But I will pitch that idea later.
Okay.
Moving on to the gameplay. You play as Abby. You save Lev from the Seraphites, the Scars. You go to the Seraphites' home base, the island. You blow that up, basically. And then you leave, and when you get back to a certain point in the game, you find out that Ellie killed Owen and Mel, two new characters introduced in the Abby arc.
Owen was a love interest, wasn't he?
Yeah. So they loved each other. They dated for a while, and then he fell in love with Mel, and he got Mel pregnant. And Ellie killed Owen and Mel.
Okay.
So when Abby saw that, she set on a rage path to find Ellie, and she did. And then it goes back to the point where I said that Abby finds Ellie in the hideout and says, "You killed my friends."
Yeah.
So now you play as Abby in that scene.
Before I lose this train of thought, one thing that I do want to bring to attention now, while I agree that the sound is amazing, that the gameplay is amazing, that the graphics are astounding, I think that the story is complete shit. Now, I'm going to be brutally honest here, and I hope that you are listening, but I'm happy that I can engage with listeners and with people, that we can speak about these things. So why I say this is that people made the plot point of Ellie killing a pregnant woman. It was like one of the focal points. But if you go back and you actually think about it, number one, there was nothing that told Ellie that she was pregnant. Number two, the guy lunged and then the woman came with a knife to attack Ellie. Any person, I don't care who you are, if that is happening to you and they are going to kill you and you have a gun in your hand, you will obviously defend yourself. That is logical. And then to make it... Okay, so I think that the story tries to manipulate you if you aren't paying complete attention, because they do it in a way that's very subtle that you don't pick up. And if you look at that cutscene specifically, Ellie only reacts in self-defense. And with most of the times that she kills one of Abby's friends, the majority of the time it's self-defense that happens. What do you think about that, Beth?
That's interesting. I never thought of it in that, but you are right. She does go for the gun there. There's also a point where... But it goes back to the thing again where you don't have a choice. Like, if there was a choice in the game where you didn't have to kill Owen and Mel, obviously you would take it, because Mel's... And you've already seen what's happening to Owen and Mel, right? So you would take it, find out where Abby is, and leave them and walk away. Because at that point in the game, they were setting to go away to Santa Barbara, where the Fireflies are regrouping.
Yeah.
So, like you said, it's self-defense, but it's also no choice. And there's a point where a lot of players were upset about where Ellie kills Abby's dog.
Yes.
Alice. And no choice there either.
I mean,
no choice.
Okay, we aren't saying that we want a Detroit Become Human game. We are just saying that we want, okay, what I would like personally, and all of this is just my opinion, so you do not need to agree with me at all. What I think is, I would like it to make more sense. Don't try and distract me by trying to make Abby's character more likable by having a pet dog. And then on the other side, try to make Ellie's character disliked because she then has to kill the dog.
Right.
That's something that I think is very cheesy and...
Boxes you in. A lot, actually. It boxes you in a lot, and that's how I felt playing it, is I had no choice. I was boxed in, and I couldn't do anything. But leaving that aside, there's to bring back to that point where Abby finds Ellie, you have to now have a boss fight with Ellie, right? And I've seen a lot of players just kill themselves and say that's the end. And then there's actually a YouTube video where
unsolved. That's it.
Exactly. Where they come out in the open and they let Ellie shoot them, and then when Abby dies, they play the credits. That was pretty fun. And listen, guys, we're not saying that we hate Abby. We're not saying that at all. We're just saying that the story is messed up, and we would have loved if we were introduced to certain things in a different way. Yeah. Right? We don't hate Abby at all. We're not saying that we hate her. She's a fantastic character played by a fantastic actress, and I would have loved to explore that character.
I just like her for killing Joel. That's my personal opinion.
Okay. So then you're almost killing Ellie and Dina, and Ellie tells Abby to let Dina go because she's pregnant, and then Lev comes in and says, Abby, don't do it, and then they walk away, right? And then it sets, like, I think like 3 years later, Dina has a baby. Maybe like 2 years later or something, because baby's quite young. And then Ellie is there. They're living together on a farm. It's quite secluded. It's isolated. And Ellie's having major PTSD. So even if the mob falls, she's thinking of when Abby kills
Joel.
Ellie. Joel, sorry. So it's a point where she's living this life where she has a girlfriend, and she's a stepmom, and she's happy, but it's haunting her that she didn't get her justice, her revenge by hunting Abby and killing Abby. And then on the other end, you find out that Abby and Lev are looking to regroup with the Fireflies in Santa Barbara. There's about 200 of them.
Also,
go for it.
So one of the major plot points for this game is that Dina is pregnant, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But she wants to go home. And there is another pregnant woman that's there, but she goes out on raids with Abby. How does that make sense? And I think she's more along her pregnancy than Dina was.
I think at the time, Dina just found out that she is actually pregnant.
Yeah.
And Mel has been pregnant for, I think, for 4 or 5 months. And she's Mel is actually a medic. So she's not actually fighting like brutally hand-to-hand combat. She's just standing back and shooting and taking care of people.
But if she's shooting, then somebody's obviously shooting back. So,
yeah. It's a plot hole. I think it's a plot hole that we just discovered. But yeah, it's weird. It is a little bit weird that they've done it that way. But Dina gets sick. Finds out that she's pregnant. She starts vomiting. So that's there. And then Mel's obviously a little bit far along, and goes out and fights. So that's a little bit of a plot hole. But anyway. Where was I?
Going back to PTSD with Ellie. And not having satisfied
her
revenge.
So you, on the other end, whereas Ellie is living with PTSD, Abby and Lev find a point of regrouping with the Fireflies. And while they're doing that, they get caught by another group called the Rattlers. Which is a weird group. They're like biker guys. I don't even know what they are. They look like biker dudes. They find them and they hung up. They take away Abby and Lev and they lock them up. And then Tommy comes to Ellie and says, this is where Abby's hiding. And they've spotted her and goes off and fights off. Or tries to find Abby and kills all of the Rattlers along the way. Like dismantles the group basically. Finds Abby. Abby's super skinny. She hasn't been eating for a while. She's looking deprived of a lot of things. And she's just really, really not in a good position to be in. And she doesn't want to fight Ellie. She said, I'm not doing this right now. I don't want to fight you. And then as it gets to a point where Ellie leaves them, right? Ellie's about to leave and set sail and let them go. Let Lev and Abby go.
Yeah.
Then she drops the gun. And then she thinks about that time when Abby smacked Joel with the club. And then it goes out and starts fighting Abby. They fight. And it's almost like you're drowning Abby, right? You're almost going to kill her. Like you're about 5 seconds away from Abby dying. And then Abby bites your fingers off, and then you let her go, and you say, just go. Ellie tells Abby to just go with Lev, and they do. And that's it, basically. You find the next time you see Ellie, she's going back to the house where she and Dina were living. She tries to play the guitar, the one thing that connects her with Joel, and she can't because her fingers are bitten off. That's how the game ends.
yeah, it does end that way, but I don't know. It doesn't make complete sense to me because, okay, why... Let's go back to the time when you face off Ellie the first time as Abby.
Right, right.
Dina is shot with an arrow. She's on the floor. She's out of the fight. Ellie has a broken nose, I think, and she's lying on the floor.
Yeah.
What motivation do you have to let Ellie live after she's killed your love interest, she's killed your friends that you've known all your life?
Yeah.
Why would you then walk away? You let her live once before, and then she came after you and killed so many people. Why would you?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I didn't think of it that way. I think the only person stopping her at that moment was Lev, because the fact that Dina was pregnant, because it's weird, because before Lev steps in and stops Abby, Ellie says, you know what, Dina's pregnant, don't kill her. And then Abby says, good, and is ready to slit her throat. So... It's I don't know what to say about that, actually.
And then if you go back to Ellie on the other side at the end.
Right.
You've been through so much. I mean, you just lost two fingers and you have your hand in salt water and it's burning the hell out of whatever is left there. But you decide to let her go.
Right.
Why?
Well, I think what they were trying to do there is it's very subtle, but if you had killed Abby in that moment, Lev would come after you. And then continuing the cycle of revenge.
You just kill Lev.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, we're missing a whole part here. So before she actually kills, before Abby's about to drown, like 5 seconds in, before Abby's about to drown, she recalls a time. She goes back to the time where she goes to Joel's porch.
Yeah.
And Joel's picking at his guitar. And he's drinking a cup of coffee. And Ellie basically tells him, look, I don't want you. There was a sort of like a spat between a guy, because Ellie and Dina were kissing, and this guy comes in and said, this is a family event, don't do this, take it elsewhere. And Ellie says, what did you say? And then Joel steps in and pushes the guy away, and then Ellie gets mad at Joel for doing that. It's very weird. And then she's about to kill Abby, she recounts the time where she goes to Joel after that incident happened and says, you know, I don't want you doing that, I don't want you harassing Jesse about my patrols either. And obviously, the whole game, when you see Joel again, it's flashbacks. And then she obviously finds out, she finds a recording where she finds out that Joel, there's no other people that were the cure. Joel lied. And she's angry at Joel because her life would have meant something, she feels, if she had died on that table.
But right? I mean,
and she's mad at Joel for taking that away from her. Basically, I'll round it up. When you see those flashbacks after that, after Ellie finds out, she's mad at Joel up to that point in the game where she goes to his porch, basically.
But in retrospect, if you think about it, is the game now angry at itself for ending off the first game the way it did? At the end of the second game, it is all for nothing. There's no two ways about that. It's just, I think that... Right. If I had to summarize it, I would say that there is shock value for the sake of shock. There is violence for the sake of violence. But after you're done with it, it's done. And it's just like, there's no like profound feeling that this is a story that I've been on. This is the journey that I've just experienced.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that retrospective hint for you to go back and think about, hey, this was a lot that just happened. It's just, it happened. That's it.
Right. That scene I'm talking about where she goes to the porch, there's a part where she says, I don't think I can ever forgive you for taking that away from me. For taking away the fact that her life would have meant something to a lot of people. She could have saved a lot of people with the cure, right? And then she says, I don't know if I can forgive you, but I'd like to try. And then Joel tears up and he's like, I'd like that. And that part got me. That seeing Joel like that and seeing how far he's come as a character really, really got me. I know people are still saying, you know, he's a bad guy. Yes, I said it before. He's a flawed human being. Everyone is in this world. And he just didn't have to die like that. But the game ends. You feel a little bit miserable. I after I played the game, I kind of sat on my bed for a little bit. And I was like, okay, I need some closure. So I'm going to watch some interviews. I need to know what's really really happening. But yeah, that's the game, man. You play it. The cycle of revenge, the power of perspective. You feel... a little bit underwhelmed.
Did you learn anything new? I think that it does make sense, but at the same time, the stories are written and the stories are out there, but there needs to be something that you can take away from it. This game, I don't know if that's there. As a form of entertainment, I don't know if that's something that I would happily recommend to other people or play and spend almost 25 hours of my time doing that. Now, there is something else. It did end very sadly. I'm not sure if any of you have seen Samurai Jack. Now, the story behind this is that, so I learned that there was a fifth season. So what I did was I went and I got all of the seasons and I just watched them from episode one. Mavs, have you seen Samurai Jack?
I've not. I'm sorry, audience. I'm not.
Would you like to? Because if you would, then I'm...
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So you will watch season five and you'll...
Yeah.
We'll come back to this point. So I will leave this without any spoilers. But there is something that happens at the end of Samurai Jack, and it's something that leaves you thinking, reflecting. And I think there's more of a level of engagement in that series where it impacts you more than what The Last of Us tries to do. I think that it tries to take itself too seriously, and I don't think that it achieves the heights that it envisions itself as achieving.
I think that we, in the first game, you kind of almost love the fact that Joel's closed and the character development. You see it and you love the duo, the dynamic between Ellie and Joel, and it's so intriguing. And you want to explore that in the second game, and you want to know what the story is going to be like. But you said that you wouldn't recommend this game to people, right? I would say this. If you wanna know more, if you wanna expand on the Joel and Ellie story, then yes, play it. But if you were kind of a little bit satisfied with the way it ended and you would like to keep it that way, then don't play this game, because the characters that you love, character that you do love, ends up dying, and you introduce a new characters, a new arc basically. It's like a new, it's a new storyline set in the Last of Us world. That's how I would describe it. This doesn't feel like a Joel and Ellie story. It feels like this should be a new game, like the Lost, what is it? Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Yeah.
It's set in the Uncharted world. Yes, exactly. It's not in the Uncharted world. It's set in the Uncharted world, sorry, but doesn't have the Drake brothers in it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel the second part of the game should be. Like an additional or like a spin-off from The Last of Us.
Yeah, you did have an idea for a rewrite of the story if
it ever happened. Okay, this is... Okay, I know it's not going to happen, but it may leave you a little bit feeling a little bit more satisfied, I guess. But here goes. So I was watching a review from a guy called Jeremy Johns, and I'm expanding on his idea because his idea I loved, right? So he said, loved Abby, I loved playing as her, I loved the actress, but here's what should have done. This should have been the third game, right? And the second game should have been Ellie is upset at Joel for finding out about the cure and how her life could have meant something, and she runs off for 2 years, finds Abby, joins Abby's group, the WLF, the Wolves, and Washington Liberation Front, and kind of fights off factions, right? Because in the game, you see Isaac, who's the leader of the WLF, and you see the Scars, right? And they have their own cult leader, and you could make refine the story a little bit more to Abby and Ellie, and you kind of get more into Abby's world. You meet Owen, you meet Mel, you meet all these other people, Nora and Jordan, and you're like, okay, this is the world I'm in now. I'm playing as Ellie, and I'm playing as Abby, or whatever the case is. And then they're trying to find the Fireflies, right? Trying to regroup with the Fireflies, and then at the end of the game, this is the end of the game now, she tells Abby, she's sitting at a campfire, and she's like, this is the truth about me. I actually have a cure. There's a guy named Joel. And then Abby goes off to her friends and says, I know where he is. Blank screen. That's how the game should end. Right,
I agree because completely.
You see, like
that would have been so much more better.
You could have learned so much more about Abby and everything. And then you're like, what? Who's she talking about? She's talking about Joel. Is she talking about Tommy? Who's she talking about? Like, you know, it leaves you more intrigued in the game. And I think that's what this game tried to do, where it made you feel like, hey, this is the cutscenes. This is the cutscenes. Get to a point where it's just like, man, I just wish there were more. I wish I understood Abby more, her characters more, her team more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's just flat.
I think that any good piece of entertainment is one where you have to be personally involved to think about what could happen. Like, you need to wonder. Like, at the end of the first game, there was a question posed to you. Do you think that Ellie found out that Joel was lying?
And yes.
What do you think would happen?
Exactly.
That idea where you are in the conversation and you need to decide and figure out what happens is what gets the audience most involved and makes something great. But when you're force-fed perspectives and things that you're told you should believe and think, when you have opposing ideas or thoughts to what you're told, then that's conflicting, and that's why you end up with people that don't enjoy the content that you put out there, because they don't have that personal involvement, I think. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It does. Basically, if we had a chance to introduce the characters a little bit better and not rush it in, and you introduce to Abby, because Abby, yeah, like, oh my god, what's happening? You need to, as a gamer, I would have loved if they just introduced it a bit better. Here's Abby, here's a team, here's what's happening, or even explored the whole infected thing, like the cure, you know, and explore the cure narrative a little bit more. I would have loved that.
I think if I had to come up with an idea for what the second game could have been,
go for it.
Imagine you are a firefighter. You're in your firehouse.
Firefly or firefighter?
Firefighter.
Firefly. A firefighter, okay.
Yeah, so your fireman. You're in your firehouse, and then the initial outbreak happens. Because there's a gap in the first game that it jumps from present day to 20 years later. What if you were someone that was alive and had to survive during that time period?
That would have been cool.
Because then you need to set up the lore and how the world works and how we got to the stage where the Fireflies are against the military. And I think that would have been a change of pace with different characters.
You're saying the origins of the Fireflies, basically.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. That would have been
and
cool.
And just like, or seeing even how the world changed.
Yeah.
And watching that happen.
Even like having a narrative where, fine, Joel dies, but getting to play not only as Joel, not only as Ellie and Abby, but also Tommy. I feel like he's not utilized properly.
Tommy is
in
overlooked.
His role. He's overlooked. He's such a good character. I mean, he's done things in the past with Joel, and he left those things, and he started a new life, and he married Maria and whatnot. But he's such a good character, and the guy who plays him, Jeffrey Price, I think his name is, he's an excellent actor as well. And I just feel like they could have used that narrative a little bit more.
I think so.
Tommy seeking out revenge as well. Ellie, Tommy, and Abby. But no hate here. I loved Abby. I know, Ash, you have your thoughts about Abby, but I loved her. I loved playing as her. She was awesome. I just wish that she didn't have to kill Joel, or there was a world where she didn't have to kill Joel and she's friends with him, maybe. I don't know. But that would have been cool. But again, it's a very controversial game.
Yeah, that is a game that we had. That is the one that is the finished product. And yeah, I think that's all we need to say about that.
Yeah, man, you either hate it or you like it or you have mixed feelings about it. It's definitely an opinion-based game. Like, you have to play it in order to have an opinion about it, I think. Or just watch gameplay if you have to, read reviews. But it's definitely something where you have to know the story to actually talk about it and have an opinion about it.
Yeah, interesting that you mentioned you have to pay attention to the story. Now, the first game, I loved it. I played through the game on crushing when...
I remember.
Yeah,
I remember.
So I played through a few times. And on this game, there isn't a trophy that's linked to difficulty. Because normally... If you go platinum hunting on these games, usually there's something that you need to beat the game on the hardest possible difficulty in order for you to get the platinum. But in this game, there isn't one that's related to difficulty. So it means that they are heavily focused on the story.
I didn't know that, actually. I'm not going to try and play the game and platinum it again. I think I've played it once and that's good enough for me.
One and done.
But yeah. Yeah, I think it's if you have to go back and play the game, play it for the fun, and then that's cool. But I personally do not want to go through that again. I think I love Joel, and the memory of him is still there in my head. So I'm going to just let that one sit on my shelf, and that's it. Wait for the third one, if they're going to make a third one.
I think there might be one.
Just weird to see where they go from here.
I think that they should retire this group of characters. Because, okay, honestly... Wait, now. Do you honestly believe that if I stabbed you with a rusty blade many, many times, that you would survive all of your wounds?
No. There's exactly. Infections. I would die or die, basically.
Why would Abby survive? Even though Ellie lets her go. Plot armor, maybe?
I have no...
But
I don't know. I don't know anymore. This review... this podcast is confusing me. I don't know anymore what's right or wrong.
Hopefully, this is new or know what's going on with the podcast. And that they've made this far.
Please. Hopefully this is some valuable stuff and you're still sticking with us and enjoying it, because you said that they should retire the characters. They're actually reviving the characters in a new HBO series, The Last of Us, which they have announced with the Chernobyl creator, director, Craig Mazin. I'm not going to pronounce his name. But he's the one helming the project with Neil Druckmann. And hopefully he can, he's a little bit more... nicer to the old-fashioned people who want a happy ending.
But yeah, I think that the fact that the game had many different writers as well, it didn't lead to a cohesive story, and some of the plot holes and things that we spoke about wouldn't have been as prevalent if there was just one person writing the main story. And I don't think that was the case here.
No, it wasn't. There's an interview out they did in 2018 where they did say there's multiple people working on the project and multiple ideas, and they're trying to bring it all together. It's Neil Druckmann, Hayley Cross, and somebody else, I forget. So that this was written by a number of people, and all of their ideas seemed to have brought to the table.
Did you know the story was rewritten towards the end of the ending. Development?
Yeah. Was the ending, right? Yeah, it was rewritten. I remember that. The initial one was... what was the initial one again?
The initial one was that Ellie does indeed kill Abby, but they had to rewrite that because they didn't know what they wanted to do to Liv and how Liv would be...
Okay. So how would Liv survive, basically?
Yeah, what would happen to Liv?
Yeah. That's a weird decision, but obviously they have some ideas and plans for the future of this franchise and where to take it from here. But hopefully the series brings back Joel and Ellie's story and continues it from there. Who would you like to see play Joel and Ellie, by the way, in the series?
I actually have not thought about this.
Everyone wants Hugh Jackman. Everybody wants Hugh Jackman. Everybody wants Hugh Jackman. Everyone's like, Hugh Jackman would be perfect. He would be perfect as Joel. I think the lovely actress who plays in the Umbrella Academy, I forget her name. Let me get her name quickly. 1 second.
Okay.
She was actually in one of the games, Heavy Rain, I think. Ellen Page. Ellen Page as Ellie. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that might be a good fit.
Yeah. I like Ellen Page as Ellie. I think she'd do some justice to the character. And as Joel, Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, I think if I'm pronouncing his name right, he was in Game of Thrones. I don't remember his character's name. Game of Thrones. Oh, Jamie Lannister? Yeah, that's who he is. Jamie Lannister. That's the character he played. I think he would be awesome as Joel, man. I think he'd be awesome. Him, and then a lot of people, like I said, want Hugh Jackman, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I also don't think that's
going to happen.
Imagine Tom Hardy as Joel.
Tom Hardy as Joel. Certainly got that aggression. Tom Hardy's got that aggression, like, hey, you're in my house. He has that in every movie. You're in my house now. But it's I don't know. Joel also needs a bit of vulnerability, don't you think?
That's true.
So, yeah, I think closing thoughts is, like I said, if you want to expand on Joel and Ellie's story, definitely buy the game. If you like the way it ended and you don't want to put yourself to an utterly miserable experience, then don't. But yeah, that's it's a great achievement in many respects in terms of running on the PS4 and being so beautifully and cinematically. It's astounding to see how they've done this, but it's beautiful. Just the story is needs a little bit of work, I think, or would I've loved to see a different story. But yeah, Ash, I think that's it. That wraps up our review / thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I think mine would be that wait for it to go on sale or get it on PS Plus when it releases as a free game. But yeah, it is it's The Last of Us.
As an Indian person, I feel like that's an attack, Ash, because I wait for sales almost every month.
Yeah, you may call it being Indian, but I think it's been financially wise.
Oh, my dad would love this episode. Let's thank you so much, guys, for listening. Thank you for sticking with us. Obviously, these are just our opinions on the game, and Ash obviously hates Abby, and I have different thoughts on that, but I hope you enjoyed this review. Take nothing away from the game. We're not hating on it. We just wish the story was a little bit better. We love the characters. No hatred there. So thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us that number one spot. It really means a lot to us. Ash, you want to close up for us?
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to our episode. I hope that it was something that added value to you. And if you have played The Last of Us, please let us know what you think. You can get in touch with us on our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/nubology. And on our Gmail account as well, you could email us some of your thoughts and opinions. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love voice notes. We'd love to get your voice and get you featured on our show. And yeah, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you could give us 10 stars out of 5, that would be perfect. We are also on Spotify and Google Podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will
before we close, Ash, quickly, do your best Joel impression.
See, there was a sequel. Wasn't as good.